Welcome to Transformed by the Word, a podcast about discovering how to live your life with gratifying purpose. God created you for a reason, and the Bible contains the keys to unlock your transformed life. Now, here's your host, Deborah Barr.
Thanks for joining me for episode 49 of Transformed by the Word. Before we jump into this podcast episode, I would love to take a moment and thank a listener for leaving a review of the podcast, writing, "Each episode walks you through a journey where you learn more and more of Christ's heart and His desire for you. With all that is going on in this world, it is refreshing to have this podcast in my playlist." Thank you so much for taking the time to leave that review. If you would like to provide feedback on this podcast, please go to lovethepodcast.com/TBTW podcast or click the leave a review link on my website, TBTWpodcast.com. My guest for today is a ministry friend and a fellow board member of the Restored Hope Network. Our guest is Jeff Simons. Jeff is the director of Tower of Light Ministries, a ministry whose focus is on helping those who struggle with same-sex attractions. Jeff has been leading recovery groups for the past 19 years, speaking at churches and conferences, and doing lay counseling. He has a heart for those who struggle with LGBT desires, a heart for family members, and for educating the church on how to appropriately love those dealing with this issue. Jeff is single and has enjoyed a life full of friendships, ministry, and adventure. After pursuing degrees in chemistry, computer science, and an MBA in finance and international business, he worked for a large company before taking a break from life and traveling the world for 5 years. He has been to 104 countries and continues to travel whenever time, finances, and opportunities allow. He was the president of the American Friendship Foundation, which is an international humanitarian organization, and at various times he served as the director of missions at a church. He led young adult singles ministry and oversaw the planting of 2 churches. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. Hey, Jeff, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show today and share a little bit about your life with our listeners.
My pleasure for being here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Hey, when this episode airs, we're going to both be in North Carolina at the Restored Hope Network annual conference, and I'm really looking forward to that.
It will be so nice to finally be in person with people again after 2 years of COVID.
Yeah, and I love Ridgecrest. It's such a beautiful place. Now, we're in a series of podcast episodes about life transformation, and I know that you have a testimony of the power of God to heal and transform lives. Would you mind sharing with our listeners a little bit about your early years?
I grew up in a Christian family. We actually have a history of faith in my family. My grandfather was a pastor for a while, and my grandmother was a prayer warrior. We all of us grandkids have memories of being at grandma's house, praying for an hour in the evening, as she was definitely a prayer warrior. And my mother was a prayer warrior as well. She would spend a lot of time in prayer. My father was an elder in our church. My aunts and uncles are all Christians. My siblings are all Christians. My nephews and nieces are all Christians. Essentially raised in the church. And I accepted Christ in my heart too when I was 6 years old, and actually had a very personal relationship with God ever since. He has been my rock. He has been my closest friend through my entire life. And it was with God, holding on to God, that I kind of really survived my childhood. Holding on to God and my dog.
What was your dog's name?
My dog was named Duke.
So I know that you experienced some things in your childhood that led you down a path that you might not have gone down if things were different. Would you mind sharing a little bit about that with our listeners?
My father was very narcissistic. I never felt any love from him. Our life was pretty much about him. He never took any interest in my life. He was very fearful and extremely controlling. Growing up, I had a friend over one time. I spent a night at someone else's house once. I went to one party in high school. It was four doors away, and I had to be home at 10 before it even really started. That was like my social life growing up. We weren't allowed to stay after school and participate in any extracurricular activities. I was just really totally isolated and really had no friends. So I grew up hating my dad. All my siblings hated my dad. I was close to my mom, but my mom was also very busy. She was a doctor, worked a lot. And then my father insisted on homemade meals, so she would have to come home and cook food from scratch, maintain the household. And she shut herself off emotionally as well in order to survive with my dad. So there was very little emotional connection in my family. So I responded to that by spending my life in my room, reading and studying. I became an excellent student. We had essentially no toys. So I spent my time, my free time, with the National Geographics and an atlas and planning trips all around the world, essentially trying to escape my life. However, as a side effect of that, I developed a deep love for foreign cultures. And when we hit puberty, we're attracted to mystery, and everyone's journey looks different. And the way this played out in my life, there was mystery about both women and men. So all my emotional attractions have been towards women. All my crushes in junior high and high school were on girls and actresses. I had visual attraction to women. And looking back, I don't know if I had an attraction towards guys, but I definitely had at least a visual curiosity about guys. I grew up extremely isolated. I never saw any naked people, so I was very curious about naked guys. But looking back, I don't think I was particularly aroused by it. However, in my early 20s, I was finally able to get involved with some young adults and get some friends. And one of those friends seduced me and opened up this window. And, you know, I was shocked and appalled by what we did, but I couldn't shut that door. And for a few months we were involved, and then I cut it off. But that dramatically affected my thought life, because that was my only sexual expression, and that became much more focused on guys. And then later, became addicted to porn, and that part grew as well.
How did you reconcile your Christian faith with what you were experiencing at this time in your life?
So I was a Christian and I loved God. So I was deeply torn up inside about this. I had tremendous shame and self-hatred because I knew the scriptures on this. I knew God called what we had done an abomination. And I didn't understand the difference between behavior and attraction. I felt that just having these attractions and thoughts now was abominable, and it kind of made me an abomination. So deep shame, deep self-hatred. And I responded to that by becoming narcissistic myself, where, and my father grew that in me as well. He would shame me for any flaws that he saw in me, because that would reflect negatively on him. If I got a pimple, he would shame me in front of the family. If I put on a few pounds, he would shame me. And then with my same-sex attractions, I felt everyone would reject me. So I wore a mask, and I became as perfect as I could be to avoid any further shame.
Did anybody in your family or your church know that you were experiencing same-sex attraction?
I wasn't really connected to anybody in church because we were, again, very isolated. My family, no. My father had no interest in us, so there was no introspection. There was no inquiry about what was going on in our lives. I think my mother was just trying to survive as well. So there was just me.
How did you manage to get out of this cycle?
It was a long process for me. So initially, after this happened with my friend who seduced me, I tried to get help. I went to Christian bookstores. There was nothing written on this topic available. I tried to find a counselor. I looked in the back when we had yellow pages. I tried to find a counselor, but no one said anything about this topic. I thought, well, Christians don't struggle with this because it's an abomination. Why would Christians struggle with this? So I really locked down the behavior. And then, like I mentioned, when the internet came out, I got addicted to porn. I got accountability software going, and that dealt with the behavior. I saw a counselor. But his solution was, don't look at men. And after, yes, don't look at men, don't masturbate. After a week, he's like, why are you still here? And after 2 weeks, he's like, so why are you still here? So I gave up on counseling. I thought that's all the Christian world can offer me. So then at one point, I quit my job. I took a backpack. I traveled the world for 5 years. And then during that, though, I thought, well, maybe God would heal me if I read the Bible more. So I read through the Bible twice in 2 years, still had same-sex attractions. I thought maybe he would heal me if I prayed more. So I increased my prayer life and still had same-sex attractions. And then I hit my 40th birthday and had a midlife crisis. And my midlife crisis wasn't moving to Vegas and buying a Ferrari and a big gold chain. My midlife crisis was, I can't live this way anymore, God. I hate me. And I thought, well, I wasn't acting on any attractions. I thought just having these thoughts were making me an abomination. And so I spent a few months just praying every day for God to remove these attractions and still had them. I became suicidal for a few months, but I wasn't sure if I would go to heaven if I killed myself because I had heard a sermon that said you wouldn't when I was young, which was bad theology, but I'm glad I remembered that because I'm still here today because of that sermon.
Yeah.
And so then I thought, then I begged God to take me home every night for a few months. And I would wake up every morning and go, dang it, I'm still here. Heart attacks run in my family. I didn't even think I was asking for much. I'm like, yeah, God, this is just a minor ask. Can you just please take me home? It's like, God, I don't know what to do. So I looked into, I researched things more and I found a ministry. There was a ministry at that point that was about an hour away. I called him and I said, you know, here's my story. Is there any hope for me? And he said there was hope for me. And so I made an appointment to see him. And so I hung up the phone and I made God a deal. I'm like, okay, God, if there is hope for me, I will do anything and everything it takes to get healing in my life. And I don't really recommend doing this, but it's what I did. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, God, I'm not going to work for a year. I'm not going to do ministry for a year. I am not going to travel. It is going to be you and me working on everything that gets drummed up that I need to work on. I made it like my full-time job to get healing in my life.
Wow.
So I would go to counseling every week. I would go to group every week. And my counselor told me I was the second hardest person he ever had to get into group. It's all of my shame about this. I didn't want anyone to know. And I finally said, do I have to do this to get more healing? And he said, yes. And I had told God I would do anything. So I'm like, okay, I will go to group. Scared to death. Yeah. But I went to group and I actually grew to love group because group was the place where I could be authentic. And as I would drive away from group, I would get this deep heartache going because my heart, I was driving out into my shallow plastic world again, and my heart was already missing this authentic place where I could be real and known, the real authentic me. So that was great information for me and great a place to be accepted and learn and work through some things. But I would then go home and I would spend 20 hours a week with God, pile of snot, working through all of the things that was coming up in counseling and group. I would went back to all the different places of hurt and pain and wounding in my life and invite Jesus into those places and give him my hurt and my pain and my bitterness and my hatred, and then just let him love on me. Hmm. And memory after memory after memory. And he met me in those places and he did a deep healing work in my life that year.
Wow, that's a huge dedication and focus on healing. And it sounds like it's like layers of an onion that were being peeled away in you.
That is a analogy I use all the time. Because with my father, for instance, who I deeply, deeply hated, I don't recommend doing this either, but it's what I did. I went back over all the memories that I could think of with my father, getting in touch with the hurt and pain, bringing it to Jesus, and then letting Jesus love me. And prior to doing this, I couldn't be around my father 5 minutes without getting upset. After doing this for a few months, I could be around him with good boundaries and be fine.
Wow.
Well, then a few months later, I started getting upset again. And I'm like, oh, what's here? Well, there's another layer of my onion. So I went and spent another few months going back over all my memories again, getting any more hurt and pain and wounding out and bitterness and anger and hatred and letting Jesus love me again. And then I was fine for a few months. And then I started getting upset with my dad again. So I did it again. And then with really good boundaries, I could be around my dad and be fine. And then I was going through another program to be a leader. And it was a time to get in touch with pain from our fathers. And I said, you know what? I have spent a year of my life working on the pain from my father wound. I think I'm okay. And I just said one simple sentence about my dad. And I broke down for another 20 minutes. Wow. And I'm like, where did this come from? And Holy Spirit was just showing me, you know what? This is just a deeper layer of my onion. So from my perspective, I don't really ever consider it everything totally resolved. I want to be open to the Holy Spirit. Like, if there's another layer here of something in my life, show me. I want to get any more hurt and pain and bitterness and anger and hatred. I want to get that out. And it's always an opportunity for Jesus to come and love on me too.
Mm-hmm. Why is it worth going through all of this? What would you say to somebody that's like, oh, that sounds like too hard. I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with the pain. What would you say to them?
A couple things. One, I think I want to live a life that reflects God's original intent for me. I want to be transformed into more and more of the image of Jesus and reflect to others who are hurting what God can do for them. And so going through this has helped me get healing in a lot of these areas that were impeding that. But one of the amazing things that's happened, which was a completely unexpected side benefit, was I used to see people who were so in love with Jesus. I had a personal relationship with Jesus and I love Jesus. But I would see people who were so in love with Jesus. They would share about Jesus on the bus and everywhere because they were just spilling over with love for Jesus. And I would see them and I would go, God, how come I don't love you like they do? I want to love you like they do. And someone once told me, you know, if you want to love God more, pray for that. So I prayed for that for years. God, help me love you more. So, you know, probably 6-9 months of going through this process, I was driving down the road one day and a new song came on the radio. I Can Only Imagine by Mercy Me.
Yeah.
And the only time I listen to music is in my car. So I was driving down the road. I was sobbing so hard in my car to that I had to pull my car over because I couldn't see to drive. And then every time that song would come on the radio, I would have to pull my car over. And I'm like, this isn't safe. That song has to come with a 30-second warning so I can pull my car over. And I'm going, God, what is going on inside me? Why does this hit me so hard? And the Holy Spirit showed me that he used this thing that I despised so much in my life. He used all of that hurt and pain and wounding in my life where I could invite him to come into that place and he could love all of those really deep, hurtful, shameful places. Jesus loved that 8-year-old kid and that 14-year-old kid and that 21-year-old kid who was involved with that guy. And having him come in and love the most unlovable parts of me, throw his arms around me, delight in me, that developed a love for him that was greater than I could have even known to pray for. I know I love him 50 times more than I would have loved him if I didn't have this issue in my life. If I hadn't had to walk through getting in touch with all that hurt and pain and wounding and brokenness and letting him love me there, I love him 50 times more than if he had healed me the first time I prayed.
Yeah. And this pertains to any areas of sin in our lives. This is not just people who are same-sex attracted. This is people with any kind of life-controlling issues. It's the same. Jesus loves you no matter what, and it's phenomenal. Jeff, would you share a little bit about what caused you or what prompted you to start your ministry? And tell us a little bit about that and how people can connect with you there.
So because of all the shame I had regarding this issue in my life, nobody knew this issue existed for me. I lived in a completely heterosexual world. I had led a humanitarian organization for 5 years. I was a missions pastor in my church. And the ministry that I had gone to for help myself, after I went through that for a year, they shut down. And they wound up eventually moving to another state. So there was going to be nothing in my state to help other people. And I went to a large church. And in my own church, they had had 5 spouses leave their families for the gay lifestyle. And I went to our recovery director and I said, here's my story. You can't tell anybody. And if you know of anybody who struggles with this, you can send them my way. I'll try to find them help.
But secretly.
Secretly. No one can know. And so my recovery director goes, wow, you have an amazing, amazing story. When can you start a group? I'm like, absolutely not. Over like a year, she asked me that multiple times. Absolutely not. I live
never,
in
never, never,
never. So then one day, one of the high school small group leaders of guys came and asked her and says, we're getting all these questions on homosexuality. We don't know what to say. Can someone come and speak? So she came to me and told me that. And I said, I will find somebody else. And then the Holy Spirit just put on my heart, like, how much more would it mean to these kids to have their missions pastor come and talk to them? And I'm like, God, I know some of these kids' parents. They're some of my friends.
They can't know this about me.
They can't know this about me. And so then I thought, well, God, this will change my life if I do this. And I tend to be a very high responsibility person. But I'm like, I'm not going to move forward on this without knowing that you specifically want this for me. And so I did what every good Christian does when making a decision like this. I opened up my Bible and I put my finger on the page. I'm just kidding. That's not what we should do. But that's what I did. And it went straight to the verse. What do you do with a lamp? Do you put it under a bushel? No. You put it on a lampstand so the world can see what God has done. I'm like, oh my gosh, God. Well, maybe I should do 2 out of 3. But I'm like, okay, God, you just gave me a word directly from you. I need to do this. And so I did. I went and I talked to them. And then the leader said, oh my gosh, you have to talk to all of the parents. They need to hear this. So then I did. I went and talked to our parents, which was our largest class in the church. You have to talk to our high school group. Then you have to train the staff. Then you need to do a seminar for my church. And it just snowballed from there. So God brought me into ministry. I was, kind of an unwilling participant, but willing to serve him. And so he used that. And now I've been doing this for almost 20 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. And how do people connect with you for your ministry?
So my ministry is called Tower of Light Ministries. And I have a website. towerofliteministries.org, and I'm in Seattle. So that's where my ministry is based. So there's email and phone number on my website to contact me.
I know you do a lot of travel still, and I'm very jealous every time I hear you're going on another trip somewhere in the world. But I know that that passion came out of actually hurt in your childhood in the National Geographic magazines, and I can relate to quite a bit of your story. But tell us a little bit about what you do now internationally related to same-sex attraction and helping people.
So God has blessed me with an opportunity to travel. So I've been to 104 countries. A lot of that has been for personal interest in enjoying culture, but he's opened up the door for me to be able to minister internationally as well. So 2 to 3 times a year, I get invitations to go overseas and train at Youth with a Mission counseling schools, where I get to be able to minister to missionaries, which helps engage my passion for missions. It allows me to travel overseas, and I train on sexuality, including LGBT, which combines my heart also for helping those who are struggling sexually. So it's a really wonderful opportunity that God's provided for me to be able to combine my 3 passions.
Yeah, I love how God does that for us. If we're willing and surrender to Him, He will give you the delights of your heart and the passions of your heart. It's a wonderful thing. Do you have a favorite scripture or a life verse that you hold on to?
I like Philippians 1:6. And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. So even though I have spent a ton of time getting healing in my life, I know it's a lifelong process. So even this last year, the Holy Spirit during COVID had been kind of like stirring up my heart a little bit. I was wondering, you know what? I wonder if there's another layer of my onion on a couple of issues. And so I sought out a counselor who kind of specialized in those areas. I met with her weekly for 7 months. Getting in touch with another area in my life where the Holy Spirit wanted to go a little deeper and brought a lot more healing. So I don't ever consider the process done. I'm like, God, if there's more healing you want to bring, He who began a good work in me will eventually bring it to completion when I see Jesus. And He'll do that for everyone else as well.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Some people think there's shame in going for counseling, but truly there is not. That is so needed. We are a broken people. We live in a broken world, and anything that can bring layers of healing is a good thing.
I don't think, there should be no shame in seeking out healing and help in our lives. Mm-hmm. I have been in counseling multiple times, and I have loved it.
Yeah. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we begin to wrap up?
I would encourage people to have, if this is an issue that you have in your life, that there is hope for you, that Jesus wants to come and meet you and bring healing and restoration as you cry out to Him and process things with Him. I would really encourage you to find a local ministry, if there's one near you, where you can get plugged in and get help one-on-one. And if not, there are online resources as well. If you're not in a place where there's in-person help, I would just really encourage people to be able to start that process for themselves. And if they're a family member, they should be able to get help and support for you as well. And I know there's groups online that can do that too. There's not one near you.
Yeah. And if you don't even know where to start, check out restoredhopenetwork.org. That's restoredhopenetwork.org. There's a lot of ministries and pastors and counselors that you can gain access to on that website. Jeff, would you mind praying for our listeners as we conclude our interview?
I would love to. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I just thank you, God, for everyone who is listening to this podcast. God, you know what brings them here. You know what they may be struggling with, or the family members that they are concerned about, or friends. God, I thank you that you are a God of hope. God, that you are a God of restoration, and that you have good things for their life and for the lives of their loved ones. And God, I just pray that you would be with them, during the coming week or two after this podcast, God, that your Holy Spirit would just be helping them process any parts of this that would bring hope and encouragement to them. I pray you would guide any future steps, God, for what you would have for them as they would look into getting help or support for whatever it is they're dealing with. Amen.
Amen. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this short break. We just heard from Jeff Simons, who shared with us how, through counseling and episodes of inner healing prayer, where he invited Jesus to bring healing to the areas of wounding in his life from his past, how that has made such a tremendous difference in his life. Jesus was there when you experienced wounding, and he will show you his love. And you will experience his healing power when you are able to surrender those areas of hurts and pains to him. If you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you don't currently have a personal relationship with him, you can make a correction to that right now. If you sense that Jesus wants to bring healing to your life, you can pray a prayer like this. God, I confess that I'm a sinner and I need Jesus in my life. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. And I accept this by faith and invite Jesus to be Lord of my life, to reign and rule in my heart. And today, I surrender my life to you. Take control of my life and teach me, Lord, how to live for you. Thank you for forgiving me and saving me. Amen. Now, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you reach out to me through my website at tbtwpodcast.com and click the link that says, Record your decision for Jesus. Once you do that, I'll reach out to you and help celebrate with you and help you with your next steps in your Christian faith. My prayer for you today is that you would surrender every area of your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and allow him to bring healing and transformation to the areas of hurt and pain that are hindering your ability to enjoy your life to the fullest. The Word of God says that Jesus came that we might have life and have life more abundantly. Live the abundant life that God intended for you. Stay tuned for our next episode of Transformed by the Word, where we will hear another life transformation story.
Thank you for listening to Transformed by the Word with your host, Deborah Barr. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Google Play and connect with us at tbtwpodcast.com. Until next time, be blessed.